Amen. Well, God always has a good word for us, and it comes to us in 1 Corinthians today. If you would turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We'll be beginning in the 11th through the 13th verse. Amen. Good to see you. If you'd like to, when you find it, if you'd like to stand with us, amen, in honor of the author of this book, hallelujah. And if you'd like to remain seated, that's fine too. But our custom is like we like to stand and honor the one who wrote it, amen, the one who's given it to us through men of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, amen. Every word, he says, is inspired by God. Praise God. Not the word of men, but the word of God. The Bible, B-I-B-L-E, amen. Hallelujah. Basic instruction before leaving earth. Look at somebody next to you one more time and say, you don't have to be nervous. Amen. Hallelujah. Looked a little nervous out there. Praise God. We're going to have a good time. I said we're going to have a good time. God always has a good word for us. It's called the gospel. That means good news. Good news. Amen. I don't bring any sad news. The Lord said to tell the people that their sad days are over. Amen. That's what Jesus said to say. Tell them their sad days are over. Hallelujah. And I thank God that has been true in my own life, and I know many can attest to that here today. Amen. He gives us gladness for sadness, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. God is the answer. Jesus has the answer to all of the things that we go through and that affect us and that just situations. Amen. Amen. Isn't it great? We have a great God. All right. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Let's look at the 11th through the 13th verse. I'll be reading both in the King James and the Living Bible. Amen. It says, now these things happened unto them. That's the Israelites that he speaks of just before these chapters. God bless you. Amen. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition or our warning, and upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, or her, there hath no temptation, somebody say no temptation, taken you, but such as is common to man, common to woman, but God is faithful. Hallelujah. Thank God for a faithful God who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation, somebody say with the temptation, yeah, it's there, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen. Living Bible says it this way in that translation. It says all these things happen to them, and they list all the things that happened to them in the previous verses, as I said, as examples, as object lessons to us, to warn us, excuse me, against doing the same things they were written down, warn us against doing the same things they were written down, so that we could read about them and learn from them in these last days as the world nears its end. Aren't you glad God has given us some warnings? Amen. Verse 12, so be careful if you are thinking, oh, I would never behave like that. Let this be a warning to you, for you too may fall into sin. Verse 13, but remember this, the wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you. And no temptation is irresistible. Would you declare that and confess that? No temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. For he has promised this and will do what he says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power, so that you can bear up patiently against it. Hallelujah. I told you it was good news. No temptation hath taken you or me. Amen. That is not common to many others. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that you're the only one that can touch our hearts. You're the only one because you're the one who made us. Amen. Father, you're the one who loves us. You're the one who loves us unconditionally, accepts us unconditionally, forgives us unconditionally. All we have to do is receive it and accept it. We can't work for it. The work is already done. And so, Father, we thank you that we are not saved by what we can do, but what you have already done for us through Jesus Christ. Father, we receive that grace, that unmerited favor today, that unconditional love that loved us no matter what, knew and knows everything about us, our ups and our downs, our good points and the others. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, that you are there for us today. Let your love flow. Let deliverance flow. Father, help us to hear. Help me to speak something that will touch every heart today. Only you can do that. I ask you to do it. I trust you. I thank you, Father, for the privilege and the honor to speak to these waiting, humble, hungry hearts that are listening for your word today. Thank you for each life. Thank you for bringing them this way. May this time be the best time, some of the best time of their week, as they have dedicated it and have given it to you this day. Father, make it time well spent, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can applaud him because he's worthy. Amen. Amen. The message title today is No Temptation Taken You, Has Taken You. The subtitle is Are You on the Verge of Wrecking Your Life? Got a little quiet here. I want to recap briefly for you, if you will allow me, God's three prophetic words to us, something God did for me because of those prophetic words this last Sunday. Amen. If you were here, some of you remember, if you were not, let me summarize for you. God said to us, the end of the service, those three words, he says, I am God of the valleys. He said, not to be afraid of the valleys that seem too big to conquer, for I am God of the valleys. And then the second word, God's promise to us, I will bless all of your valley places. Amen. And we prayed, let all of our valley places be blessed. Did we not pray, those of you that were here? In the name of Jesus, Lord, let all of our valley places be blessed. And God said he would open a door of hope in all of our valley places. Amen. And I understood fully later that day while I was speaking the word that while I was speaking it, God was doing it in my own life. Amen. Opening a door of hope. We really don't know what's going on many times in other people's lives. A lot of times we don't share that. We don't need to. Amen. We all go through things. We all deal with things. Amen. God knows, and we take it to him first. Amen. There's a time to pray and to be prayed for, but God is the one ultimately that can help us, and he's the one that knows. And if he knows, how many know that's good enough? Because he's the one that can do something about what he knows. Many people may know about your situation, but they may not know what to do about it. Amen. As much as they love you and want to help you, God, the Bible says, is our helper. And ever-present help in the time of trouble. Amen. Has he been anybody's helper in here today? Hallelujah. We ought to give God a praise for his help. He helped. The Lord is our helper. And we will not fear what men will do unto us. Amen. He is our helper. And so I understood fully that day that God was opening the door. It had opened the door. Sometimes God does things that we're not really aware of what he's done until he's already done it. I mean, he fed the 5,000. They probably didn't even realize that he had used the little boy's bread, amen, his little loaves and fishes. Many times God does things and we're not even aware of his miracle-working power, but thank God for it. But it was over a month ago, quickly, just share with you, a bad cough came on me, and suddenly it was there. There were no other symptoms, just a debilitating cough that seemingly wouldn't let go. You ever had something that wouldn't let you go, seemingly? Even had a few days rest a couple weeks ago in Big Bear. Amen, on a scheduled time, a timeshare rest, and still no better. In fact, two of the 5 days I was there, during the days, I was awakened about 3 o'clock in the morning, having just gone to rest about 12, between 1 o'clock there, and I woke up needing to get some air. Amen. I didn't have enough air. I was having to grab some air. I have a new appreciation and compassion for those who deal with respiratory problems. Amen. I mean, it's a good thing to be able to breathe. Yes. You don't believe that? Ask a fish. Amen. Well, that'll come later to you. Amen. And so I was thinking about that, and probably I thought, well, probably it's the altitude, although I'd never had a problem with that before. I thought it might also be the association with That left ventricle, they said, was about 35%, although I'm believing God, and how many know we trust God? Still mow the lawn, and God has helped me still do the things I need to do. And so, and I didn't really feel like taking the medication. The doctor said, that's all right, I'll see you in a year. Because I didn't think I needed it. After I read the complications and the side effects, it wasn't really for what I was dealing with anyway. I think sometimes they just got to prescribe something. They're a doctor, amen? They got to do their job. They don't want you suing them. Can't walk out of there without something. At least I'm sure that's, but I'm not denigrating doctors. I'm sure he was doing his job. But when I came back after another couple of months, he said, how are you doing with that medication? I said, I haven't taken any of it. And I heard a doctor's wife I saw sometime after that up at Paradise Springs. I relayed that to her, Sister Wilma. I've known her as from a child, our home, our family, a woman of God. I was telling her, she just asked and about it, and I told her a little bit. She says, yeah, it's just like a man, she said. They don't like to take their medication. You know any men like that? All right, let me ask you another question. Do you know any men? Amen, period. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so I wasn't worried about it. Amen. I was concerned. I mean, no, it's not good for a speaker who can't speak or a singer who can't sing. And there's a difference between worry and concern. Worry says they're both not the same thing. Worry says I'm not sure God is big enough to handle this. And they can handle this situation that he's really in control of this. But concern says something like, I know something's wrong, but how many know nothing's too big or too hard for God? Amen. Amen. And I know that God is with me, and I know that God is helping me. And so that morning, last Sunday morning, I was getting ready for the service. I said, Lord, I said, I'm going to need some help because I can't even hardly speak a word without this cough. It is what it is. Compared to some other things people might deal with, it may not seem like much, but to a speaker, you have to be able to speak. Amen. And so I went in by faith and just walked by faith and did what I could. Had been doing it 3 weeks previous. Had a few cough drops. They weren't much good. Amen. But I went early that morning because Deaconess Linda told me to get some ginger. Amen. How many know that's a herb? I don't know anybody by the name of Ginger. Amen. Okay. Just want to make clear. Okay. Yeah. That was what Deaconess Linda reminded me of the day before. And so we do what we can. How many know we do what we can? How many are doing what you can? And God has promised to do what you can't. There are some things you can do. God won't do what you can do. God won't do what I can do. But he will do, if I will do what I can do, God will do what I can't. Sometimes we get into a mold where we want everybody to do everything for us. That's not you, of course. But some people we might know. Amen. And God is waiting for us because God can't steer a parked car. Huh? You got to get it out there. Is that right? Master mechanic? Amen. Hallelujah. So God has a way of doing what we can't. Praise God. Well, to make a long story shorter, not only did I speak without coughing, one time I realized later that evening it dawned on me the cough was gone. Hallelujah. Gone. I mean flat out gone. Woo. I thought, wow. Yeah. Tell the one next to you. He will bless your valley places too. Go on, tell him. He will bless your valley places too. Yes, he will. And I may know if he'll do it for me, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. You never know. You come into a service like that, the anointing is what destroys the yoke, the thing that's around our neck. Amen? The anointing, he says, because of the anointing, the yoke is destroyed and the heavy burden is lifted. You just never know. When you put yourself in the presence of God and you obey God and do what he's telling you, you never know how God's going to bless you just because you have followed him. Amen, because he says those that seek me, amen, diligently, I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. How many are expecting God to reward you for seeking him? We don't seek him because of that, but a reward comes with that. Man, that's good. I just want to remind you of that because God wants you to know he's got blessings for you. He knows what you're going through. He knows the challenges. Amen. And you never know just when God will step in. But let me tell you this, he will step in. He will. And here, he hears and answers prayer. Praise God. And so expect God to move in your city. He has a way of sneaking up on us sometimes, though, just to bless us. Sometimes he has to sneak up on us to bless us because we resist sometimes. Amen. You ever had somebody resist a hug or, well, we won't go there. That. And so I haven't coughed since. Praise God. And so surely a door of hope is opening also in your valley places today. Are you hearing me? I believe God is saying you weren't just speaking words. A lot of times we just hear a message, but God is actually giving us these words. Doors of hope are actually being opened. God give that manifestation to let you know it was not just words, it was God's word. My words will fall to the ground, but God's word will never fall to the ground. It will accomplish what he sends it to do. Amen. And if he's done it for me, I know he'll do it and is doing it for you. Praise God. And so God's final word to us, that prophetic word was, my river of blessing flows into every valley place. Amen. My child, he said, and this is again for somebody, my river of blessing is starting to flow. This is just the beginning, just starting to flow into all of your valley places. Lift up your eyes to me. Do not bow down in your valley experience and lose hope. Can I say that again? Do not bow down in your valley experience and lose hope, for I have promised to send my living water to be a fountain of blessing to you. Unquote. Somebody ought to give God a praise, at least 5 seconds. Father, thank you for what you're doing. And so we see and we saw God has promised to exalt. Every valley shall be exalted, he said. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadows, he says, every valley shall be exalted, filled up. The crooked places, we heard, shall be made straight, and the rough places smoothed out. Amen. That was God's promise to us. Now, that which brings us to the message today, no temptation. Amen. How many enjoyed being reminded what God said last week? Don't raise your hand. How many forgot what God said last week? Eddie, you're too honest. Amen. You make me suspicious. No, I'm just kidding. Brings us to the no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man, but with that temptation, God will make a way of escape. There were some guys that were talking, and they were talking about, you know, what they were able to resist and what they were able to do, and one of the guys jokingly said, he said, I can resist anything but temptation. It was a joke, amen. But there was some truth in that for that guy, amen. Some temptations, if not all, temptations seem irresistible, do they not, to the flesh? Jesus said the spirit is willing and the flesh is, hate that word, weak, don't you? Some temptations, if not, are irresistible to the flesh. His name is temptation. Her name is temptation. I think there's a food they call temptation. Amen. Verse 13, Living Bible. Let me read it again. But remember that these wrong desires come into your life. They aren't anything new and different. Don't be surprised. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you. And no temptation is irresistible. No temptation is irresistible. How many want to argue with that? I think there's maybe one that might be irresistible. That chocolate cake? Hallelujah. But you can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. Amen. He's promised to do this. He'll show you how to escape. Amen. Temptation's power so you can bear up under it patiently. How many know we all face temptation? Yeah, and many pastors have succumbed to that which is called temptation. We have seen it in the papers, and we see the headlines, and of course the enemy really, really gets off on that when that happens. Amen. And it just messes everything up. And God help us with this thing called temptation. Amen. I think Jesus, in response to the disciples' request to teach us to pray, if you remember, and most of you know it, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:13, our Father said, lead us not into temptation. I mean, no, he's not talking about Jesus would not lead you into temptation. He says he tempts no man. Amen. He does test us, allow us to be tested. But what is the interpretation? It says that don't even let us enter the temptation. Don't let us enter that temptation. I mean, no, that Jesus said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Once you're in it, I mean, it's tough to get out of it. Sometimes we wish we never got in it. Huh? There was an article that caught my eye in the religious section of the paper week before last, and it was one of our local pastors. In big letters were those words, are you on the verge of wrecking your life, by Shane Eidelman. I'd like to share it with you. I believe there's a word for us. In Russell Moore's compelling book, Tempted and Tried, a chapter titled Why You're on the Verge of Wrecking Your Life, Especially If You Don't Know It, caught my attention. Moore quotes a scientist who studied cattle behavior. A slaughterhouse, in order to keep the cattle relaxed, should remove anything from the side of the animals that isn't completely familiar. The real problem is novelty. Novelty is anything new or unusual. That was the problem. That is the problem. Workers shouldn't yell at the cows, she said. Never yell at a cow. Amen. Not there. And they should never use cattle prods because they are counterproductive and unneeded. If you just keep the cows contented and comfortable, they'll go wherever they're led. Don't surprise them. Don't unnerve them. And above all, don't hurt them. Scientists apparently devised new technology that revolutionized death in the large slaughterhouses. I know that's not a real great subject here for Sunday morning. But there is a point here. I'm going somewhere. Amen? Tell somebody he's going somewhere. Yeah, it may not look like it, but he is. Amen. May not sound like it, but he's going somewhere. Moore continued, the cows aren't prodded off the truck, but are led in silence onto a ramp. They go through a, quote, squeeze chute, a gentle pressure device that mimics a mother's nuzzling touch. The cattle continue down the ramp onto a smooth, curving path. There are no sudden turns. The cows experience the sensation of going home, the same kind of way they traveled so many times before. As they mosey along the path, they don't even notice when their hooves are no longer touching the ground. A conveyor belt slowly lifts them gently upward, and then, in the twinkling of an eye, a blunt instrument levels a surgical strike right between their eyes. How many want to have a hamburger after service? Their transition from livestock to meat, and they're never aware enough to be alarmed by any of it. Anybody say anything about temptation? This is difficult to read, I understand, but necessary. It is a vivid visual for spiritual warfare. Succumbing to temptation is often gradual, easy, and effortless until the enemy levels a surgical strike right to the heart. We're often too smart to take deliberate plunges, but we're easily enticed to take one step at a time, one compromise at a time, one bad choice at a time, until we're at the bottom keenly aware of our gradual but deep descent. Are you still with me? You didn't choose this, but you are in a war. No peace treaties can be signed. No concessions can be made, and no compromises can be negotiated. You can't say, I don't want to get involved. You're already a target. Satan hates anybody made in the image of God. He gets back at God by hurting everyone made in God's image. It's a strike against God. He can't get God. His arms are too short to box God. So he strikes at his creation. You're already involved. You can't remain passive, aloof, or carefree against an enemy who doesn't sleep or slumber. He is sent to kill, steal, and destroy, the Bible says. Wake up. Life is a battleground, not a playground. A classic line from an old Wyatt Earp movie states it well. You tell them I'm coming, and I'm bringing hell with me. Used to be one of my heroes. Amen. I was always at the OK Corral in my life early. The same applies to us. When we make a decision to follow God's principles, all hell breaks loose and is dead set against us. How many have found that to be true? When you said, I'm going to follow Jesus, I give my life to Christ, I'm going to tithe, I have gone through those challenges. You know why God allows the devil to do that? First of all, you're being tested. Are you doing that because you really love God and are obeying God, or are you just doing it because you know something you have to do, and if you don't, something worse is going to happen? How many know we shouldn't be doing things because we fear? We should do things out of love. How many want somebody to do something because they fear you? No. The only ones I want to fear me are my kids. I'm sorry. That wasn't in the notes. Amen. A little fear of God doesn't hurt. Amen. You tell them I'm coming. I'm bringing hell with me. Amen. Better straighten up your act, boy. They about wore that stick out on me. Amen. All hell breaks loose when we decide to follow Jesus. But God allows it. He wants to see if you're sincere, if you really mean what you said, if you're really determined to follow Jesus. And then once you back the devil off, instead of him backing you off, whoo, glory to God. Resist the devil. Amen. The Bible says, and he will flee. Resist him. He will flee. He will resist you. He wants you to flee because he's thinking you don't know the authority and power you have. So if he puts enough pressure, he'll make it so you never come to church. You ever come to church, and especially when you want to do something, and man, either the kid throws up on himself. I may have had that happen. Gosh, we're talking about a lot of good things here this morning, aren't we? Something goes on, you stub your toe. Even more popular is you get in a fight on the way to church. drop the wife off and you go home. Amen. Or vice versa. Okay, I'm getting too close to home. I'm sorry. Because it is a spiritual battle, our only recourse is to engage the enemy with spiritual weapons. Because it is a warfare and there is a war going on, we've got to use our spiritual. Ephesians 6 will tell you what they are. When we obey God, he strengthens us. Amen. When we humble ourselves, his grace is manifested more abundantly. God resists the proud, but he lifts up the humble. Just as water ever seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God finds you abased and empty, his glory and power flow in. So said Andrew Murray. Disobedience leads to desperation, and despair. Throughout the years, a few disgruntled readers, including pastors, have commented that I should ease up. People don't want direct confrontation. They suggest that I come through the back door with my approach. Be funny, winsome, and lighthearted. But something is clearly wrong when we continue to read headlines such as broken homes in the United States are at an alarming level. Study finds 88% of scenes in porn films include sexual aggression. And what's really behind America's suicide epidemic? Why did 40,000 Americans kill themselves last year, the most in recorded history? That was hard to believe. In this land of at least some freedoms left and some abundance compared to the rest of the world, we have 40,000 Americans that killed themselves? Let me bring it. I know I'm getting too close in Spanish, but how many here would say that there hasn't never been a thought of suicide in your mind at some point? Amen. It's happened to all of us. And if it wasn't, then I did have a thought of killing you, whoever you was. Amen. I guess I'm too real in here for y'all. Amen. These statistics and headlines indicate that we are far beyond a backdoor approach. We need to hit the enemy head on. Too many are choosing therapy over obedience, counseling over conduct, and talking over doing. An African pastor was asked, why is there so much counseling in the American church but not in the African church? He responded, in America you counsel, in Africa we repent. Woo! Repent means stop doing what you're doing. Stop sinning. Get your mind right, get your heart right with God. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, turn around, go 180 degrees, follow me. I know where I'm going. You want to go to heaven? Follow me. Don't follow the world. Don't follow the crowd. Follow me. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10:13, our text offers strategic insight. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man and woman. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above your ability. Able, we can say no. I said we can say no. But with the temptation, we'll provide the way of escape. There is a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it, to bear it. Amen? I have come close in my Christian life at times, and I have talked to God real serious, said, God, I'm getting real close on that line. Amen. You said, you're not giving us more than we could bear. Well, this is, yeah. Amen. The door swings both ways. You can enter or exit. To bear it means that we are not trapped. We are not without hope. God will help us carry the load. Amen. When we see something we need, desire, or want, our first impulse is to act on it. The pressure feels unbearable, and we cave in. This defining moment is often the most difficult when overcoming temptation. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness. Romans 6:16. Whose are you? When we indulge in sin, we are presenting ourselves as slaves to the desire. It is important to resist at the lowest level and at the first opportunity. Amen. I'm not discounting the deep emotional and psychological pain of bondage to sin or emotional trauma, but I do want to remind you that God makes provision for all of our needs through a relationship with him and obedience to his word. Hallelujah. You can't have a relationship with him and discount obedience to him. If you love me, he says, you'll do what I say. Why do you keep telling me you love me, but you don't do what I say? That was very strange to Jesus. Counseling with those skilled in the word is invaluable. I'm not discounting counseling, and desperately needed. But all the counseling in the world will not work if the heart is not right. Glory to God. God is the one that gets our hearts right. We have to let God get our heart right and get our heart right with God. You can be in church the rest of your life and not have a heart that's right with God. People fill churches in America every Sunday morning, and many whose hearts are not right with God. The Bible says they hear it, but it goes in one ear and out the other. It's more of a facade. It's more of a, I feel it kind of soothes my conscience, kind of makes me feel a little bit better, but I'm still just going to do what I want to do when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and I really, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Amen. How many know that is the definition of rebellion? How many know it's in all of us, been in all of us? We see it first in our kids. Oh, let's not talk about our kids. Amen. Love them. But you see it in the little one. First time he tells you no. You said what? I remember one of my little grandsons on my wife's side, of course. And he couldn't have been more than 4 or 5. And his daddy did something to him. He looked at him and he looked straight at him like eyes that could kill. And he says, you want some of this? And he meant what he said. I thought, where did he get that young? He must be watching some TV or something. You want some of this? It's in there. Amen. Woo. Somebody can thank God for Jesus. All the counsel of the world won't help if the heart's not right. God heals us primarily with obedience to his word. Huh? Want to be healed? Obedience to his word and repentance through a broken heart. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Psalms 107:20. We must stop fighting this fact or we will not win. Amen. Are you on the verge of wrecking your life? That's a question. Amen. It's a probing question. Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, pray that you and not enter. Amen. Shouldn't even get in it because it's tough to get out. Let me close with James 1:12. Can I close at 11:20? Is that okay? How many have a hot date? Hot luncheon and a hot date. Okay. James 1:12. If you've got your smartphone or whatever you've got there, if you'd like to follow along, James 1:12, it's okay. I'll just verse 12 here in James 1. It's a verse God gave me some years back during a time of great trial. Usually if you're going through a great trial, there's great temptation. Are you hearing me? Anybody who's going through anything is going to go through some temptation. If you go through something in your marriage, you're going to have some temptation. Huh? If you go something with the family, there's going to be some temptation. Something in your body, there's going to be some temptation. Something in the church, there's going to be some temptation. How many know temptation is here? I've been tempted sometimes just to walk out. How many ever felt that emotion? You ever walked in and said, shoot, I'm walking back out of here. But somebody told me, say, you can't do that. You're the pastor. Oh, okay. Now, you didn't think everybody was tempted except me, did you? Thank you. No, I can't let you put me on a pedestal because I found out years ago that you step off a pedestal and everything is down. Everybody wants somebody else to be God to them. They want them to pray for them, want them to do this for them and that for them. But I'll tell you what, it's better if you do it for yourself. Amen. James 1:12, time of great temptation, great trial in my life. And it wasn't just an overnight thing. It was a matter of some years. And God continued to give me this verse over and over. He even gave it one night through an HBO movie, which I don't watch many of. Amen. I don't even have HBO in my DirecTV package because I can't justify the cost because I can't watch anything on it. It's so foul and filthy and corrupt. I used to get it just for the sports, but when they rigged the boxing matches, I didn't want that anymore. Amen. Okay, I'll get off that. Listen to what he says. Blessed is the man or the woman that endureth temptation. Endure, that's a great word. For when he or she is tried, oh, it will try you, he or she shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. How many know God has a crown for those? God calls us overcomers. Amen. Let no man or woman say when they are tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man or woman. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Look at the progression. Do not err, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I may know everything that comes is not good and everything is not perfect. And everything may not be a gift from God. Are you hearing me? Be careful. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us with his word of truth, that we should be kind of a first fruits of his creatures. Let me read a Living Bible, if you'll let me. Happy is the man who doesn't give in, or the woman give in and do wrong when she is tempted. For afterwards, they will get as their reward the crown of life that God has promised those who love him. And remember, when someone wants to do wrong, it is never God who is tempting him. For God never wants to do wrong and never tempts anyone else to do it. Temptation is the pull of man's own evil thoughts and wishes. These evil thoughts, you know, you can't always use the thing the devil made me do it. What was that comic, you know? Flip Wilson, yeah. Yeah. Amen. I mean, no, we're responsible. Temptation is the pull of one's own evil thoughts. These evil thoughts lead to evil acts afterwards to death penalty from God. Verse 15, so don't be misled, dear brothers and sisters. But whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God, the creator of all light. And he shines forever without change or shadow. And it was a happy day for him when he gave us our new lives. He is so happy when we receive the gift of new life from him. It was a happy day for him. Through the truth of his word, and we became, as it were, the first children of his new family. Oh, happy day. I said, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Woo, he taught me how to fast and pray, how to watch and pray. We watch through the word, amen? Revelation 3, 10 and 11 says this in closing. The last book of the Bible, the revelation of the end times, the coming of the Lord, and the eternal kingdom of our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's speaking here in the third chapter, the 10th and 11th verse. Jesus speaking to one of the seven churches that are likened in a type of all the churches throughout the church age. You'll find the church in every one of those churches. Some of the church will be in all seven churches. And Jesus speaking to that one church called the church in Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. He says this in verse 10, Revelation 3:10. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. How many would say that we are in a great hour of temptation? Temptation is everywhere. Come on. Woo. And only God is able to help us to resist. Amen. Then he says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Living Bible says it even clear, because you have patiently obeyed me despite the persecution, therefore I will protect you from the time of great tribulation and temptation, which will come upon all the world to test everyone alive. Whew. We are in that time, church. If you don't believe it, talk to those Christians in Syria and Iraq, and God help us. They don't come here. Are you hearing me? But they say they're already here. So our protection is not in the government. It is not in our armies. Thank God for what we get from that. Our protection is in the name of the Lord who created heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Woo. My God. He's the one that says, I give my angels charge over you to bear you up in all your ways. We got angels walking with us. Glory to God. Hey, what you doing over here, over there? There's angels bearing us up so we don't even dash our foot, don't even stub our toe. I've questioned that verse because I've stubbed my toe at night sometimes. I said, Lord, my angel sleeping or what? He said, well, there's some things you do I have a problem with. Amen. So I know you don't have that problem. Amen. Great tribulation and temptation will come on all the world to test everyone alive. How many already feel being tested? How many know the temptation has already been great in your life? Things you've been going through and are going through. Things that you're still going through and will yet have to face and deal with. Aren't you glad we don't deal with them by ourselves? We have an intercessor, glory to God. We have an advocate. We have a lawyer. We have the best lawyer on planet Earth. We have an advocate with the Father. And he is pleading my case. He says, not guilty by reason of the blood of Jesus Christ. Shut your mouth, devil. I know he ain't perfect, but he's mine. I know she's got some challenges, but she's mine. When I see her clothed, not naked. I see him not naked, but clothed in the robe of righteousness. I see him clothed. When I look at them, I see Jesus. Yes, I know they got challenges. Yes, I know they got some issues. Who doesn't have some issues? You don't think you got an issue? Whoever don't think you got an issue, you got a bigger issue than anybody else. Biggest issue I got is me. Don't listen to my wife. Don't talk to her. Don't ask her any questions about it. Amen. None of your business. I would say something else there, but I probably wouldn't be able to go home, so I'll leave that alone. Amen. Are you still with me? Lead us not into temptation. Amen. Jesus said something talking about watch and pray. Man, I love what Jesus said. How many would like to escape some things? I'm an escape artist. Huh? I said, I'm an original escape artist. Almost every institution they ever put me in as a child, I escaped.
Yes, I did.
You open the door, I'm gone. Uh-huh. I'd spent from 12 and a half, 13 years old on till 20, 21 years old. I've been in juvenile home, spent 7 Christmases, 7 birthdays, 7 everything. One time I was coming back on a transportation deal from Arizona. They flew me there and back and done something in Arizona as a kid and come back, and there was only a couple lights left before East Lake and Juvenile Hall and the big gates, and some of you know what I'm talking about. And I said, well, it's now or never. And I won his confidence. I shouldn't tell this, but it was a transfer. He said, nobody's ever run on me. I thought, yeah, good. You know, pride goes before a fall, and I'm not proud about it because I ruined his record. Amen. First light, green, couldn't get out. Next light, last light, red. Hallelujah. Although I wasn't Christian then, so I didn't know about hallelujah. Amen. Hit that door, grabbed my shoulder. I was out. East L.A. Here I come. Crawled back in the back of somebody's washroom in their house, East L.A., and could hear the cars going by looking for me and all that. And I said, I'm not spending another Christmas in this place. You ever get to a place where you're just tired of being there? You just say, that's it. I'm fed up. I'm tired of that. Now, what did I do right? No, that wasn't right because I had to turn myself in later. After Christmas. Stealing my presents every year. I'm sick and tired of it. Amen. I still know where I'm at, even though I forgot, but I'm right back on it. Amen. I'm closing. This is the last one. This is Luke 21. Jesus is talking about the signs of the end times. He says, take heed to yourselves. Said, watch out. Don't let my sudden coming catch you unawares. Verse 34, chapter 21, he says, don't let your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, overeating, and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day comes on you unawares. For as a snare it shall come upon all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Man says nothing's ever changed. It's going to be like it always was. They always talk about the coming of the Lord. Be careful. You haven't read your Bible. You haven't read about the signs of the end times. And you can see that your Bible, the headlines in your newspaper, the headlines on your smartphone are reading verses from the Word of God, what Jesus said. As a snare it shall come on all them that on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore. Somebody shout watch. Watch means, man, the Word, we watch through the Word, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. They shall come to pass. They are coming to pass right now. They are increasing more and more and more. The Lord said he would cut these days short because of the evil. And the enemy knows, the devil knows, his time is short. And so he's increased his evil and his murdering self. He's increased the persecution against Christians. He's trying to stop the coming of the Lord in Israel, because if he can stop any part of the word, he can make the whole thing void. Do you understand that? That's why he's zeroed in on Israel, because the Bible says Jesus is going to come back on the Mount of Olives, split that mountain wide open, and he's going to come and he's going to deal with his enemies. He's got a controversy with the nations and how they've treated Israel. No, Israel hasn't been right all the time, but I'm telling you what, it's just like my kids. No, my kids ain't right all the time, but don't mess with them. Huh? Be careful how you deal with other people's kids. They're still mine. Yeah, and Israel, God says, is his, just like the church is his. Don't mess with God's kids. But I'll tell you, when people don't want to mess with you as a Christian, as a child of God, when they mess with you, they're messing with God. And I can't tell you, over the last almost 40 years, anybody that has come against, nothing has ever turned out good, situation after situation. You cannot. We are the anointed of the Lord, all of us, not just pastors. I don't use that for an escape thing. God has anointed all of us. We all have an unction. You don't mess with a child of God. Don't mess with Texas. I mean, with the child of God. Woo. Amen. God is with us. That you be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Living Bible says, watch out, after he talks about everything going on, earthquakes, all the signs, he says, that we're seeing. Don't let my sudden coming catch you unawares. Don't let me find you living in careless ease, carousing and drinking and occupied with the problems of this life like all the rest of the world. Keep a constant watch. We do that through the Word and pray that if possible, you may arrive in my presence without having to experience these horrors. Whew. If that is an incentive to pray, then ain't nothing going to do it for you. I told you I'm an escape artist. I don't want to have to go through anything I don't have to go through. I mean, well, there's two kinds of people, those that watch other people and they don't make the same mistakes. Then there's other people that are knuckleheads. They watch them, they just do the same thing they did. Come on. I've been on both sides. Huh? Okay. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the things I've already escaped. I said I've already escaped things that others have not escaped. I still have a home and many others do not have a home. And I'm not, you can't blanket everything because everything is, every situation is different. But I'm going to tell you, there's something to trusting God. There's something to believing God. There's something to get on your knees or praying in your car, wherever you pray. There's something about seeking God. There's something about reading His Word, especially when you're in the temptation. You try to do it on your own, and man, it's tough enough. I need His Word. His Word is life. It's His Word. Praise God. Jesus is telling us, get ready. Amen. Get serious. Yes, we're in the world. We're not. Yes, He said, occupy. I live every day as if it's my last, and I plan as if I have forever. Are you hearing me? Today I woke up and say, Lord, thank you. I live this day as if it's the last day I have on planet Earth, and I want it to count. I want it to mean something. I want my life to have counted. I don't want to live and have died and owed my soul to the company store and live for what this world could give me just for some retirement. Nothing wrong with that. But, friend, there's more to it than that. Hallelujah. There's eternity. And what you do, they say, will last for eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me ask you again in closing, are you on the verge of wrecking your life? I already crossed that verge many years ago, and God took a wrecked life and gave a new life. Amen. But I don't want to be on the verge now. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to listen to God. I want to obey what He has instructed in His Word. I want to follow Him. I want to be where He says to be, to please Him who called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. I need to watch and pray, word and prayer, so I can escape, so I can overcome the temptations that are coming to try all through a great hour of tribulation, to try everyone on planet Earth. You think you're going to escape? Our escape is in Christ. He is the ark of safety. Get in the ark. It's getting dark. God is calling people. He's working. He's dealing. We have thousands of young people, millennials, you know, they're the toughest generation because they've seen all what they've seen. They're coming to Christ by the hundreds and thousands. Just at the church in Washington, 3,000 millennials. Oh, they got the stage and the lights. It looks like a nightclub. But I'm telling you what, they love Jesus. The preachers are preaching the Word of God, not mincing any bones about it. They got a slogan that said, paint it red. They got a big paint the town, paint everything red with the blood of Jesus. They got a song that says, make it impossible not to accept Jesus. Isn't that good? They're taking the city. God is using them. And I see this just not here. Valencia. We have a Pentecost Church of God. Over, I think, 3,000 something. A new church plant within the last 5 years. God is millennials again, but all kinds. They're using the stage and they're using the music, but they are worshiping at some point. Amen. Some of it wasn't much worship, but hey, I'm talking from my baby boomer. Amen. I said boomer, not bummer. Amen. Baby bummer generation. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand with me. I mean, you know, it's a time to be circumspect and to really examine our lives, examine ourselves, and where are we going? What are we doing? What we've done, we can't change. We can only believe God to take care of that, put that under the blood. Amen. I may know the blood covers. Woo. I said the blood covers. Nobody's done it perfect. If we could go back, we would, of course, do it better in some places. Some places we did it good as we could. Amen? But God is faithful. I said God is faithful. Whew. I tell you, if I see one thing that I could tell you, I see God is bringing our kids in. I said God is bringing our children. I don't care how old they are. He is speaking to them. He is calling them. He is determined to get everyone in the house that belongs to Him. Stay in the house. I said stay in the house. Get in the house and stay, because the enemy will surely is working to pull you out. Amen. You know how hard it is. You know what you go through. Amen. How many went through something just to get here this morning? How many ran over at least 10 demons on your way here? You can see them coming. They're all laid out on the road. Amen. There's one. There's one over there. Yeah. Take someone, would you, by the hand, or put your hand on their shoulder. Would you do that? Let's have a closing word of prayer. We're all in this together. There's not one that hasn't been tempted and tested and tried. and maybe in a real time of temptation and testing, we don't know what people go through. Most people are private, and they won't let you know. They just deal with whatever they deal with. You may see a little glimpse here or there, but if you have the privilege, and they give you the privilege, but God knows. Oh, God. And he understands the temptation. He knows the needs of his people. He said he would meet all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We have to let him meet him his way. One of the definitions of sin is meeting our needs our way. God is too slow. I have needs. I heard a preacher say that. I have needs, justifying his affair with one of the women in the church. What? How we can justify things because we have needs. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in every heart here. If this is the last service that we ever had, I pray the gospel message has been clear enough that we have painted the picture that you wanted painted and shared what is ahead and what you have spoken and just a taste, a foretaste. But we thank you there's a foretaste of glory, not of disaster. Yeah, all that is around us, but God, you are a good God, and it pays to serve God. It's the best thing you could ever do is to give your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. He knew you before the foundation of the world. You were before you were. His Bible says he knew you from the beginning. And he knew you would be at some point in your life receptive to the gospel, the good news of salvation. Many have already received him. Others are on the fence. Some are in, but they're more out than they are in. Lord, I pray that you would, with your power, the power of your love, come and lift each one up today. Strengthen that brother, that sister. Strengthen that one. All the things they've gone through and are going through and may yet go through. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit who has been given to us to help us. The Paraclete, the Comforter, has come. He's here. Comfort us in all of our tribulation. Comfort us. Thank you for what you're doing for us. Thank you for what you brought us through this week. Thank you for all the miracles, Lord, you did for us. Thank you for the door of hope that you opened for these pastors this last week. A lot of hard work, but hard work would have meant nothing if you hadn't have moved the doors and moved the situations and given favor and moved in places, Lord. God, we give you all the glory. We thank you for what you're doing for each and every life, and we thank you for their destiny and their purpose. We thank you that they will not by faith live and die in vain. Within us, everyone, we want our life to count for something. Lord, I thank you for each one today, for the sons and the daughters and the husbands and the wives, the fathers and the mothers as we head towards Father's Day. Lord, I thank you for the grandmothers and the sisters and the brothers and their life. Lord, I thank you for all that they've been through and all that they've endured. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. God, you even helped me do that. And I thank you for it. How many times has God saved us from situations? How many times has he helped us and gone before us? And then if we got into it, helped us out of it. Lord, help us either way today. Whether we're in or out, come in your strength and power. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. We pray for that one that we've joined with right now. You know the temptations they face. You know the thoughts in their minds. Some of those thoughts no one will ever know or need to know. You know some of the feelings they have, the emotions. You know the pressures that are on their life. You know the questions they have. You know the doubts they have. Lord, I want to thank you that you know. And because you know, you care. And you're able to meet us individually and personally, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion I have no use for. Relationship I have every use for. Religion almost killed me and took me to hell, dead and lifeless. But relationship, Jesus, I thank you for that relationship now. Come into waiting hearts. Give your life to Christ if you've not done it. If you've been away from God, give your life back to God. Come back. Renew your relationship with him. He never moved. He's always been there. Come and receive his help and return. That's what repentance means, return. Return to the one who loves you. Return to the one who created you. Return to the one who died for you. Return. Return. Wherever you've gone away, return. Wherever you've strayed, return. Wherever your mind's been going, whatever emotions you've been going, whatever thoughts have been going through your mind, whatever thoughts of leaving, temptations, get away from the pressure, from the responsibility. Oh, he knows all about it. He knows all about it. He knows and he cares. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, happy day. Hallelujah. Got a little song in closing as we go today. Oh, happy day. Amen. All right. Yeah. Come on. Woo! Was a happy day. Yes. Wasn't it a happy day? All my sins away. It was a happy day. Oh, happy day. If you like prayer, we're glad to pray with you. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Thank you for coming. See you next week, the Lord willing. Come on.